I did a juice fast.
How do you feel? How's your poops?
It was really cleansing.
Yeah.
The original, I kind of rejiggered it. It was initially going to be a 60-day juice
fast. Oh, my God. That's okay. Not possible.
Instead, you went to Jamba Juice for lunch one day, and that counted. That was
no, it. I was serious about this. I got a juicer, a powerful centrifugal juicer.
Oh, and the juicer that wouldn't come to you because of the hurricane.
Correct. Right.
Right.
And then I got it's green juice you're living off of. You got to have your kale in there and what have you, so you get your protein in.
You got to buy special kinds of wheat, don't you? Special wheat.
No. We're talking. This is my standard juice was kale, lemon, ginger, apple, celery, cucumber.
You did not get past half a cup.
No, that sounds really good.
I don't know.
No, the juice.
Kale, anything with kale. Good.
No, the other stuff, I sometimes, but you can throw in whatever you want. You know, throw in a kiwi, throw in an orange.
Let me ask you something. All that stuff. So it's a juice fast. Essentially, can you make anything into juice and then it counts? Like
no,
a turkey
not.
Leg?
Yeah, no. Yeah, throw a whole Dorito shell Taco Bell taco in there. Throw a couple of fun-sized Milky Ways. You are ready to go.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. I like that.
I actually tried to make, at the advisement of somebody else who had done this, I tried to take my pulp one day and turn it into pulp crackers, which is basically like you lay it flat, you mix it with a little wheat flax, with a little flaxseed meal, and you smush it out flat, and then you bake it. And try to turn it into
so
crackers.
Do you do that before or after you rub hemp oil through your long, long dreadlocks?
You can actually use the hemp oil as a cooking agent, which works really nicely.
Yeah,
the hemp oil helps to keep...
Cut one of your locks off, you whisper a wish into it, and then you put that in your juice. And then it's wish juice.
Yeah.
It takes a lot of hair to get a lot of juice out of it, though. This juice smells like a Dave Matthews Band concert.
Justin McElroy, and I know the best game of the week.
My name is Griffin McElroy, and I know the best game of the week.
My name is Chris Plant, and I know the best game of the week.
My name is Russ Freshdick, and I'm really hungover.
What happened?
I'm really hungover.
Oh, man. That
you
is
guys
like...
are hungover. Griffin and I, let's see. Last night was the Polygon launch party.
Mm-hmm.
And because of weather-related incidents, neither Griffin nor I were able to attend. So we missed out on the bitchin' hangover that you guys had.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Had. I'm living it right now.
Are you living in the middle of.
Russ Freshdick's elongated war cry at the beginning of every episode is like my North Star. It's like what I use to navigate my way through the choppy waters of the episode. And
we are in the Bermuda Triangle right now.
Can you give me something?
I don't know. Yeah,
it's bad.
You think you hate it.
Yeah.
But then when it's lopped off, you miss it so much.
It's like your penis. It's like, well, there's literally
it's like you paved paradise
say.
And put up a parking lot. That's honestly what it's like.
Or it's like cutting off your penis, like Justin said. It was more.
Yeah, I like
most
that
apt.
Too.
So this is the besties where we take the latest games and we pit them against each other in a battle royale to see which one reigns supreme. We then pit that game against our current reigning champion to see if it dethrones it to take its spot in our Hall of Fame. Russ Freshdick, what is our current reigning champion?
It's Need for Speed Most Wanted. Don't worry. Don't,
no,
from,
okay.
For the so rest of the episode, don't ask Russ anything that he doesn't need to answer because it sounds he's still clinically drunk.
But I feel like there was some confusion as to whether Dishonored got retired last week and Need for Speed won or what exactly happened?
Yeah, Dishonored is going to come back at the end of the year. It's in the Hall of Fame.
Okay,
yeah,
fine.
Hall of Fame.
Okay, well, we're going to boot out Need for Speed, I'm sure, today.
Oh,
so
okay.
It's fine.
Have you still not like bought it and really spent some time with it?
I drove some cars.
You have not even played it yet.
Let's leave it at that.
Okay.
He's driven a car or two.
Yeah.
So first off, I want to continue basically the discussion we were having on Assassin's Creed 3, which I did not officially submit for approval of the Midnight Society last week.
You hadn't played very much of it last week.
Right.
And I think we are all, at least me and Plant, are at the point where you were last week, and we've lived through the nightmare horror dreams that you experienced.
I still haven't touched the goddamn thing because the discussion that we had last week. I have way too much on my plate to play some chaff, and I'm worried that that's what this is.
It is profoundly depressing.
Chaff is a good word for it, Griffin. I've solved the tape. I solved the whole tape. It took me about 22 hours, which for me in an Assassin's Creed game is unheard of. I'm the guy who goes and does every side mission, gets every sync point, gets every, you know, whatever. The only thing I don't do usually is whatever the most banal, like, you know, feather or flag or whatever the super overpopulated collectible is. But everything else I do and enjoy doing it. Go through methodically and do it. And now, and in this game, I got to this point where I was like, if I don't finish this game, if I don't just rush through and do the missions, I'm not going to finish this game because I am so displeased. I'll come back to me. You guys are new to the experience. How did it grab you?
I do want to reiterate what you were saying last week, which is to say the first, and I think you said 5 to 6 hours. I think that's generous. I think it's the first 8 hours of this game it's a tutorial. Like, no kidding around, and not like a fun God of War, you're punching a Kraken in the face tutorial. It's like, this is how you run on a building. This is how you run on a tree. And it just keeps going and going and going.
Hey,
there's nothing. You don't feel like a badass. You just feel like,
well, you can't even climb a tree.
Oh, well, sometimes you can.
Yeah, later. I mean, you can't climb a tree for the first 3 or 4 hours.
Yeah, you got to level up that ability. Yeah.
My problem with it is they have a problem with not killing their ponies or darlings or whatever word it is that you want to use. They clearly had two or three ideas that were probably good on paper and could have been solved, you know, in an hour of game time. And rather than do that, they wanted to, like, just, like, tweak these, like, little twists in the story to the furthest extent. Like, the example I could give would be, imagine seeing The Sixth Sense, right? And it just lasted, like, 8 hours. Like, you knew around an hour and a half that he saw dead people, but then they refused to say it out loud.
Right.
They're like, you know, I don't know. He must see some people. Like, they start using, like, bad pronouns just to, like, cover up what might be the secret.
And it's not a good it's the most obvious thing in the world, and it's not, like, I don't know.
I was actually surprised I didn't see it coming.
The other bad thing is I don't want to get too much into spoilers, but just in general, I feel like there are a number of missed opportunities, specifically with the beginning, but I think they had a good original idea that could have revealed a lot about the entire world and the assassins and the Templars, and like what they chose to do with it is like, hey, let's have this amazing concept and then do more of the same.
The weirdest thing about this extended tutorial, and I don't want to tell you, it is not the main bad thing in the game. It is part of one of many failures, but the worst part about the tutorial is that there are huge mechanics that are confusing that are not covered by the tutorial.
Let me just say, as somebody who has not played this game at all, nothing you guys have said the entire episode makes any sense. Give me some firm, okay, shit about what sucks about this game.
Okay, let me tell you one thing. You don't buy advanced weapons and armor and upgrades in this game. Like, if you want to upgrade your dude, there's only one way you do it, and you have to make you have to have artisans that work for you, that live on your homestead, and these artisans you unlock with missions that you have to do that are hidden all throughout the world. You do these missions to unlock these artisans, and then you have to find recipes for them to make these things. And then, like, if you want an upgrade to your sleeping darts, for example, like, upgrade the number of them you can carry, you have to find first the tailor that will make them for you. And then...
Wait, why does the tailor make sleeping darts?
She makes a pouch that can carry more.
Oh, okay.
You find the the recipe to make this. And then you have to go into a menu where you buy the materials you will need for this from the person that's going to be making it. There is literally no...
they've got the shit.
It's not even in the same menu. If you look at a recipe and you see something you don't have, you can't click on it to buy it. You have to back out, go to an original, go to another menu, buy it from that person, and then go back to the crafting menu to make it. And sometimes there are things in a recipe that have to be made also. So you make that first recipe, go back, buy the things you don't have, go make the supply you need for your sleeping dart pouch or what have you. And then you have to, your artisan has to be of a certain level to craft these things. And it is never explained to you how the artisan's level, none of this system is explained. It's especially not explained to you how artisans level and get more, become a higher
artisan,
level.
Artisan
points, AP. So I will tell you this, it is not repeatedly making things as it is in, well, Logic and Earth.
Yeah.
And also every video game to ever have crafting ever. It is not that. I don't want to spoil it for you. But it's not having them make things.
I'll give a concrete answer that is even more, I think, damning. And have any of you played Army of Two, the 40th Day?
Yes.
It was directed by the same director as Assassin's Creed 3. And what's amazing is how many of the problems with that game just materialized in AC3. In the first 6 hours, it could just be a film. Because the A to B to C is so precise that in a number of stealth missions where you're walking, you're not climbing or doing any assassin stuff, you're literally just walking from bush to bush. If you walk at a speed or tempo that the game doesn't want you to, it automatically forces you to restart because you'll be seen and you desynchronize. But the problem is, like Army of Two, they decided that you only needed one checkpoint in a mission, and that checkpoint is at the very beginning. So you will get you'll evade like five guys, which really is just watching them deliver their lines. Like, you're not actually doing anything. And then you'll get to the sixth guy, which is the one that is actually gamey and requires you to like have any strategy, and you'll mess up and you'll restart and have to watch those five guys talk again. I mean, it's like,
maybe you'll mess up and maybe it'll be a bug. Maybe his pathing will be messed up.
There was one stealth mission where I finally got to like the eighth guy I had to sneak past. And I got past him, saved these people I needed to save, and one of the people I saved would somehow trigger the attention of the guards, randomly. No fault of my own, and until I realized, basically, that I had to restart the entire game and play this mission, and when I did it that time, I saved the people, and it launched a cutscene, and everything was okay.
Oh, man.
I do want to mention, you know, obviously there's a lot of points to complain about this game. I do want to mention that this would be the only game that I can think of, correct me if I'm wrong, where a small Native American boy captains a large warship. True?
Yeah, I think he's a teen at that point, but yes, you're correct.
Okay, a teenage Native American boy captains a large warship.
And here's the surprise.
I love that part.
There are warship missions. They're pretty good.
Yeah, they're good.
They're fun.
They're really good.
You can do missions and you can upgrade your weaponry, and I don't think it has a good goddamn thing, again, with being an assassin. Like, none of it has anything to do with, like, sneaky
I don't
Aladdin.
See anyone behind the cannons of that shit. Oh, fuck!
Oh, no!
You can blend in with rocks and stuff with your boat.
It never works itself up to a good pace. Most of the plot, to me, was incomprehensible.
Even when he's like, yo, sup, I'm George Washington. You gonna go slit some red throats? And then you're like, yeah, I'll do it for you and for America, and then you do it, and then an eagle comes and it eats the body.
You do transform into an eagle and go on a spirit journey.
Also, I have to mention one more thing, because it was something Justin kind of hit on last week. When you do a mission, you have, like, four side missions you can do, and when you fail them, a giant red X appears and makes this awful noise. And it's like the equivalent
whammy, effectively.
It's a whammy, exactly. You literally
and
read my mind. It's like going through your life.
Across
and
the screen.
You accomplish like a great thing. Like, you ask out, you know, the woman of your dreams. And she's like, yes. And it's like, you could have asked her out better. Whammy.
Mm-hmm. Your breath was terrible.
You got married. Congratulations. But you didn't get all the feathers, whammy.
Right. Rather than make it be a subtle thing that at the end you're like, hey, if you want to go back and play that again, you don't. But if you do, like, here's an option. And the thing is, nothing is so the missions are so unenjoyable that you would never want to go back and go through them again. They're completely linear. It is completely prescribed to do exactly what they want when they want you to do it. There are good ideas here. There are inspired moments. There are, it's a beautiful environment. And that's really cool. The combat is maybe a little, I don't know.
It feels muddier than it used to be.
Huh?
The combat feels like muddier than it used to.
You don't have the counter kill thing.
Yeah.
Which is what I always used to like in Assassin's Creed, where you wait for the attack, you counter it, and then you kill the person. That's gone. That system.
That's not gone. That's still there.
It does not work on most people. Like, you can occasionally pull it off, but it's not a one-hit kill. It's you'll start leaning into the guy with four or five attacks.
Yeah.
And usually that's long enough for somebody else to come along and attack you, and then you've got to counter
them. Can we all agree that Assassin's Creed 2 was, like, the ultimate
peak? No, Brotherhood.
Actually, I think I might like Brotherhood more than Assassin's Creed 2.
Yeah, I would say they're about tied. Brotherhood added a lot of stuff, but there also felt like there was a lot of unnecessary stuff in Brotherhood. Yeah. I think I just have such affection for 2 because, like, that world just...
I mean, it's either that or the iOS Gameloft Assassin's Creed game, I think, is probably up there.
How did this happen? Like, how did things fall down this...
When you have a company that's relying on 2 games, Just Dance and Assassin's Creed, and those games need to come out every single year, this is what happens.
That's what it needed. It needed to be... It needed another 6 months.
6 months, exactly.
Of polish. It has all the basics are there, but it is clear at some point somebody just started cutting off limbs and was like, okay, we just need to cut this off and cauterize it so it's at least releasable. And it doesn't matter if it's fun or not. We don't have time to play test it. We can't. We've gotta release it as is. And like, I can't. And I think part of it I will own up to is. Part of it is the way I like to play these games. I like to go through and do all the side junk and you know, feel like I'm having an impact in the world. And it is made so profoundly unenjoyable to play the game like that. You can get a courier mission where you have to go around town to give 4 letters to people. No one ever says what the letters are. They never say anything else than... Thanks, you've done a great service. And I swear to God, I had to deliver 4 letters in the same city to 4 people who looked exactly the same and all had the exact same bark when I delivered it. Like, that's Assassin's Creed 1 bullshit. Why are we back there? Why are you not making a good game? Like, you know how to do it. Well, somebody at Ubisoft knows how to do it. Maybe this team doesn't. But the guys who made Revelations were on it.
Well,
No. Revelations is bad.
No, okay, Revelations is not great. Brotherhood is excellent. I mean, they know how.
Here's the thing. Brotherhood came out the year after 2, didn't it?
Yes, but so that's the big trick is that so 2 had about 2 or 3 years between the first one and 2 coming out. Then 2 came out, set this awesome baseline for like this is what a kick-ass Assassin's Creed game is like, and then all Brotherhood was building on top of that and adding more cool features.
Yeah.
So it wasn't. It wasn't 2 years worth of work. It was a year's worth of work. So, but in this case, how much time did they have to essentially do what Assassin's Creed 2 did? Not nearly enough.
I mean, they also don't have the brilliant game designer director that came up with all this. I mean, that is a pretty big part of it.
Yeah. Right.
Well.
So, sad news overall.
I know we're in the minority here, and maybe you're playing it and really having a good time. I know a lot of people... are enjoying it, but for me, I think a lot of that comes from the fact that people have played all of these games. I know that's why I kept playing. If it had been just a random action game, like, there is no way on God's green earth I would have finished it. No way. But you know, you play what, 4 games in a series and the 5th one comes out, it's like, well, yeah, and it's supposed to be the last, you know, at least closing off an arc. You know, I of course I want to play it.
Yeah.
Let's move on because I'm really sad. It's games like Assassin's Creed 3 make me really happy. I have a GameFly membership. It seems tailored for that.
It is.
No, it's not, because it's your life. It's your lifetime. That's what you're losing here. You're losing your precious heartbeats.
I mean, I'm still gonna play it. I'm still gonna play it. I just, you know.
Yeah, but he can leave after like a couple hours and just return it and not feel like he wasted $60.
Exactly. God, I have done that to a depressing number of games this year. Let's move on. I'm super bummed. Let's talk about a really good game.
If you do play it and you get it from GameFly or whatever, just don't get hung up on side stuff. Push through the game, finish the arc, and be pretty depressed that they didn't release a better game.
All right.
Because it's a bummer.
You got to go down that spiral of sadness as fast as you possibly can.
Yeah, just get down to the bottom. It's like drinking all of your kale juice. Mm-hmm. You got to get to the bottom of it as fast as you can.
And then you can see the future outlined in the kale leaves at the bottom of the glass. And the future is that Assassin's Creed 4 is probably not going to be very good either. Can I talk about my game then?
Yeah, let's do Knights.
My game is an iOS game. It's been in the works for a while. You may have seen a teaser trailer for it. Maybe you haven't. It's called Knights of Pen and Paper, and it is almost the kind of game that I have been like preaching for somebody to make on a smartphone forever. Like, my kick has always been, why hasn't anybody made D&D for iPhone? Because it's made for it. Like, it is absolutely made for it. This kind of takes that idea, only it does more of an old school D&D than like the modern tabletop board gamey version of it. So basically, you control a party of heroes that are customizable, and you also control the dungeon master. And all that you see is these people sitting at a table and the dungeon master, and then the background like changes depending on where you are, but you are basically watching a like old school game of Dungeons and Dragons take place, and you control both sides. So like, as the dungeon master, you can create a quest for the other people to go on, and then while they're on that quest, like when they're in a battle or something like that, you control the heroes. And it's a really cute interpretation of the whole thing, and more than that, it is like really very, very compelling. Like, there are all kinds of classes to unlock and different, all of the players, you first have to choose the player, and the players are like, I don't know, they seem like the sort of prototypical people who would play D&D. Like, you can unlock like a pizza guy, or you can unlock like a nerd or a jock or your little brother. And then you assign them classes, and then they level up and earn new skills, and you can find all sorts of equipment and go on all sorts of custom quests.
I'm getting a little confused here. Okay. So you've got the dungeon, I'm sorry, you've got the human beings that are playing Dungeons and Dragons. And are you leveling them up?
You are leveling up their characters. Their characters. But you can do stuff like with the money that you earn in the game, you can, there's like this big in-game shop, and you can purchase, you know, items for your characters or unlock new characters, or you can buy things for the room. Like, you can buy snacks for the table that will give your characters like temporary bonuses in battle.
Doritos and Mountain Dew.
Like, decorations for the table, or you can like buy a new look for the dungeon master, or you can buy a new rug for the room, or posters for the walls. And everything that you buy has like in-game interpretations. Like, they may increase your magic for a while, or they may increase like the rate that you find, you know, mining veins in the game or stuff to unlock.
That's surprisingly well thought out.
It's very, very clever. Like, the progression systems are fantastic, and for me, that's like the most important part of a mobile game. And this has it in spades. And it's like the production values are very pixelated and sprightly, and it's actually really deep.
In terms of like you're in a mission.
From the main town, like, you choose a quest, by which I mean like you choose what type of quest you want to do. Sometimes you can choose like what, like if you're going to hunt down items, you can choose what the item is, and then it tells you where to go, and then you go to that area, and then you can like create the battles. So like, if you have to find 20 of some item, you can fight like one monster at a time and it'll be easier, or you can elect to fight like five monsters at a time, or like three really, really difficult monsters. Like everything is custom tailored because you are playing both sides of the table. So there's a lot of strategy to it. Also, the game gets harder as like time goes along. So you're constantly you can't just like camp out in one place and keep going. You have to keep leveling up your dudes.
I have a question.
Yeah.
The game was developed by a small group in Brazil, and it has a really bizarre translation. Do you think that is just, you know, a bad translation, or that it is intentionally bad English? Like, Japanese,
I haven't noticed it. I haven't noticed it being that bad. I maybe numbed those sorts of things, but I didn't think it was that awful. Have you played it at all, Plant?
Yeah. I think it's really charming. I think at its core, it's just like a grindy RPG, mostly.
Yeah.
With really, really cool art design that makes it feel more substantial than what you're actually doing, which is like grinding characters and not really going anywhere.
It is very like old school, like Dragon Quest, like mega grindy stuff. But I think that kind of stuff really translates. If you're into that genre, like, it's perfect for smartphones, because you're not like having to worry about all these twitchy controls, and you're not like, if you're not super into like social features in games, it is appropriately quite antisocial for a D&D game.
I just think it shows how people should just really explore better art design or just slightly unusual ideas, because it is amazing how much that look and the premise of, you know, being in a room that changes and goes from looking like your parents' basement to looking like this dungeon. It makes the game so much more enjoyable.
Well, yeah. And honestly, like, we're not going to skip ahead to a later game, but look at Angry Birds. The reason Angry Birds is such an enormous success is strictly 100% because of presentation. Because Crush the Castle came out and was essentially the same exact game, but it looked ugly as sin. And then Angry Birds comes out, and it's, like, adorable and looks like a cartoon, and that makes all the difference in the world. And I think so many game developers shirk the, like, presentation stuff because they're like, oh, whatever, it's just the looks. I need to make sure the gameplay is amazing.
For me,
but both are so important.
For me, it is refreshing to play a role-playing game on this platform, on my iPad, that you can tell, like, at no point were they like, well, what if, in order to take a turn, they had to eat energy crystals, and they recharge everyone is doing that. Square Enix released this game called Wizardlings recently, where you play a wizard, and it is like a new Square Enix RPG for the iPad, don't mind if I do, and it's like, tap five squares an hour, and then you can unlock energy balls that you can use to tell your friends on Facebook. It's like, are you fucking kidding? Like, just,
that's pretty good.
It's great. I don't know. I feel like nobody is catering to that audience. Yeah. Like, the ones who are Square Enix, who are like releasing their old RPGs for $18 a pop. Like, I don't know. I just. It seems like it is a genre that doesn't require much from the controls of whatever platform it's on, and like nobody's utilizing that really.
Yeah. It's a rarity.
If you have been hungry for this kind of game, I think it's gonna scratch your back.
Do you know what I'm gonna download really it. Hungry for though? It made me hungry for just a D&D game that I can play with my friends over the internet on an iPad.
Christ, with like, they made a Facebook game. Did you ever play that? The Heroes of Neverwinter. They made that game, and it was cool. You didn't have synchronous multiplayer, but what you could do was recruit your friends' characters, and then they would get bonuses from you using them in their dungeons, their quests, and it was like 4th edition D&D mechanics, and it was awesome. And nothing like that is on iPad.
Yeah, but how many squares could you explore before you ran out of gems?
That's the thing. Like, there weren't... I don't think I ever had to do any microtransactions. And I played a significant amount of the game. I don't know. Just, God, well, Wizards of the Coast is becoming so... I don't know. Everyone's moving into tech. And they're like, what about paper? It's like, paper's all right, but tech is good, too.
Your problem is paper right now.
Too much paper, I think.
Does anybody have anything else going on in their life that isn't gaming related?
I was going to just talk about our party a little bit, but...
Yeah, how'd it go?
So, I think there was some concern... I'll load it up. As you probably heard in the introduction, we had our Polygon launch party last night. I'm still reeling from it, as are many Polygon people. There was some concern, obviously, because of the weather, because the New York area has been battered by weather in the last 2 weeks. First by Hurricane Sandy, who was lovely, and then by a nor'easter named Athena, I believe. I didn't even know they named nor'easters. Anyway, there was some concern that people wouldn't show up, especially since, like, Justin and Griffin, their fights got canceled. A bunch of other Polygon folks' fights got canceled. But it turns out a whole lot of people ended up coming, and it was at this very cool place called the Classic Cars something or other on the lower... What neighborhood is that plant? Battery?
No, are you kidding?
Tribeca? No. I don't know.
It's basically West Village still. It's like...
It's still south
it's
of the
West
anyway.
Soho.
Oh my god, no one could be less interested.
No.
Anyway, listen, I wanted
we,
to say...
I think we have a lot to talk about whether or not this is the Triangle Below a Canal or at West Soho. You want to go into it a little more? What do you think, Griffin?
I think that I hate everyone who has ever lived in New York City. Go on.
Well, the reason I'm mentioning this, apart from it being an excellent party, so we got to I got to meet some of our developers last night, which I really hadn't gotten a chance to do. My experience working with developers is generally like I'll email them when something's broken and they'll respond to me very quickly with a fix, and I'm always like amazed by them being human beings. But meeting them in person made them incredibly charming to me, and one in particular named David Zhao, who has been working on Polygon since the beginning. Clearly, brief segue, I went to college in Boston, and all the MIT parties were always the craziest parties. Mm-hmm. MIT kids went nuts.
There's a lot of repressed urges,
yeah, that's what it is.
I think, that is involved with knowing how technology works.
Right. Your brain sort of compartmentalizes into work mode, which takes up 98% of your life, and then that 2% of party mode is so extremely underdeveloped that people go insane.
Yeah, they go hog wild.
Long story short, David Zhao, one of our developers, went out last night at around, I guess it was like 3 a.m., and this is the tweet that he posted. Ow, at Polygon, go sleeping my karaoke, still for F pizza. Is really delicious. Duck, where is my room card? Klein, D more food and pizza, now bend.
So it sounds like that tweet was written over the course of like 2.5 hours. Like he would pull it out.
He kept going back to it.
Knock out a couple characters, slip it back in his phone because he got distracted by pizza, I guess.
I like how it sounds like a transcendental poem.
Yeah.
Like, duck,
it is.
Now
it's
bend.
Haunting.
So, yeah, we had a good time. It was a lot of fun. And I'm still a bit, have a bit of a headache, but otherwise. What did you guys do? Justin, you had a birthday yesterday.
Yeah, yesterday was my birthday. I went to get some Japanese food, cooked hibachi style, as is my preference.
Can you make the volcano with the steam?
Yes, he did all the hits.
Awesome.
Did he throw things at hot shrimp at your mouth with like a
yeah,
knife?
And I caught him because I'm the birthday boy.
Yeah, did you do that? Did you catch? So you were sitting at a table. Paint a picture for me because I need this. You were sitting at a table full of strangers. They threw a hot, oily shrimp in your mouth, and you clapped your hands together, and were like, "I'm a birthday boy."
Like a seal. Boy. Yeah. So I was like seal. Angry Birds Star Wars is out, and it is sweeping the nation.
Have you played it?
I have played it.
Everyone played it?
No.
I have personally played it. I gotta say, though, and I've put more time into this Angry Birds than ever. I'm still not a big fan of Angry Birds as a game design. There's too much randomness for me to enjoy it, but presentation-wise, this is a delight.
I don't think that, one, there's no randomness. It's physics. Wait, you can still shoot it. Like, well, it's not like you shoot it and then they spin a poker or a roulette wheel.
Well, no, I mean there like, is a the way the physics are presented though introduces a randomness to the. I mean, it's like,
yeah.
Would you prefer chaos theory?
Yeah. Do you remember that scene in Jurassic Park where they
life
put
finds
drop,
a way?
They put the drop of water on Helen Hunt, not Helen Hunt. Fuck, Ellen.
What up?
Who was in Jurassic Park? Right? This is more important than what you were talking about.
No, Laura Dern. The thing is, no one plans on it's a little like Worms in that regard. Like,
you get.
I'm going to disagree with you strongly in a second, but continue.
No one plans on the things. It's just too common for an unintended consequence to happen.
That's bullshit.
Don't compare it to
Worms. Worms is like a chess.
We're not
going
to get into this
times 10.
Thing. Rust and Worms is gross.
Amazing.
Then I won't compare it to Worms, but still.
I agree.
A lot of
you.
Times it seems random whether or not I succeed. And also the scoring seems random. It seems to me that if I manage to complete a level with only one bird, then I should always get 3 stars.
I would completely agree with that. The scoring is totally chaos. At the very least, tell me how many points I need to get 3 stars. It's like
something, yeah. So at least I know what I'm shooting for.
That being said, and Plant played this too, so he can certainly attest to this. I think the randomness is a lot more limited than it has been in previous games because more of this game is focused around like very accurate use of the bird's powers than it has been in previous games.
Maybe you should set this up a little bit. We kind of just don't jump right
into it. Should I do it since I wrote the review?
So Angry Birds Star Wars, essentially the birds represent the different characters in Star Wars. We're talking about Luke Skywalker, who's a bird.
Who?
We're talking about Han Solo, who's also a bird. there's a few other bird-like characters. And each of those birds have special abilities, as they always have. But these special abilities seem to be more thoughtful. So in the case of Luke, he's got a lightsaber. So he can, like, wipe away. He can slash at, like, a wall, but the bird still keeps going. So essentially, it's a whole timing mechanic where you're, like, getting rid of the first, like, barrier and then using his momentum to like take care of the second barrier.
Where is Jar Jar Binks?
It's only original trilogy so far.
Yeah, it's only original trilogy. Ugh,
why would they go with the worst trilogy?
Yeah, I know.
Yeah,
you know seriously. I love the big fat Gungan, the King Gungan. What was
he's
his?
Hilarious.
I loved
he like farts.
He farts and then Jar Jar Binks is like, so smelly. God damn it. Fuck.
Yeah.
But to go off, Russ, I think your problem with it, Justin, is you basically aim and then you let go and then maybe you hit another button and that button usually like makes the bird big or it drops a bomb. But really, it's kind of just doing a lot of damage. That's kind of like what the Angry Bird is saying is like fling it and then hit the damage button. Mm-hmm. And here there's more choice. Like you actually can aim. With Han Solo, you can like aim somewhere on the back of the map and shoot something way over there. So you're actually choosing to do a lot more than just hit the kill button. And other examples of this is you can actually deflect things now. So things that you can't even reach on a screen, you can suddenly get by like having an enemy fire something at you and then you using lightsaber to deflect that and sending it way off in the screen. So I think there's a lot more you can do in this game than any other Angry Birds, where it's pretty much pull the bird back, let it go, and it hits the wall and knocks crap over.
Yep, there's a lot more depth to it. Also, Greedo gets shot in the face.
Yeah. Isn't that chaos, though, what people love about these kinds of games?
Well, I think it's what dumb people love about these games.
I think that's what's good about this one is you can play it and just knock over all the crap.
That's what I loved about Wreck-A-Tier, is that sometimes you'd pull it back and then you'd let it go and it would just fall impotently to the ground. Or sometimes you'd pull it back and launch it and it would like go backwards and hit you in the face, like that one clip from the reality show where the woman got destroyed by that watermelon.
Yeah, that was a good one.
That was a good clip. God,
so you loved
Wreck-A-Tier,
as we all know.
Damn, it was good.
Was it really?
No, yeah, a good one. It was a dog fart. Hey, let's talk about Halo.
Anyway, I gotta say, as a non Angry Birds fan, I'm digging it. I think I will continue to play it because you're right. The powers introduce an extra level of skill
game.
And timing.
Like there's a game to it now.
That's kind of what I'm getting at. Right, it's not just a toy. It feels more game like while still keeping a good amount of randomness.
Yeah,
guys,
maybe even more than I'd like.
I've got to do something about this Broner. We've got to talk about Halo.
It's Halo 3.
It's the next
Finish
one.
The fight.
It's Let's Halo 4 it right. actually.
Let's do it tonight.
Halo 4.
Play Halo 3.
That's not the theme song. It's hard for me to get, like, jized when I turn on the Halo without hearing that. I like the new song, but now it's just, like, a lady, like, wailing. And she sounds
very Yeah, but it was always
sad.
That. It was always, oh.
Well, no, it was, like, a monastic no, chant. Bah, 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 bah. And backing it.
And, like, Stevie Ray Vaughan is like, hold on, let me shred. Who actually does it?
It was SRV. He was tuning up his geek box while over a monastic chant. And I was like, I've got a kill boner, is what I would say out loud.
Yeah.
Have you guys... Has everyone played it?
I played the first, like, two levels.
But
that's about where I'm at.
And some multiplayer.
I played about... I'm about four deep in the campaign, and I'm about level 12, I think, in multiplayer.
Okay. And that sounds very low.
It's probably my favorite... I don't know about the campaign, because I haven't really gotten that deep into it. So far, like, I don't... It seems kind of... They introduce a character who seems like a major character in the canon, but I have played every Halo game, and I do not know this guy from dick. Like,
oh, not the doctor? You weren't talking about the doctor?
No. I know her, because I actually did. I read The Fall of Reach. But
you, no, you didn't.
I did.
You read that whole book?
Yeah, yeah. It was good. It was like it was like one of those old Nintendo Power novels. anyway, they introduced some character.
You mean Worlds of Power?
Worlds of Power, yes. It was
by FX9?
Yeah, I read Metal Gear Solid, I guess it was just Metal Gear, the Worlds of Power. Anyway, that's not Jermaine. What is Jermaine is they introduce, like, the main antagonist of the game, and it's like, not him again. And it's like, guys, I don't know who that is. And you're
Guilty Spark?
No. They're, like, using his name and stuff, and it's like, oh, it's... I don't want to spoil it. And I'm like, oh, okay.
Mr. Glass.
It's...
Is it Mr. Glass?
It's Mr. Glass, yes, from Unbreakable.
He's back.
So I don't know about the campaign, but the multiplayer is, like... I'm having more fun with it than I think.
I would say, so I obviously played for about an hour, so not very much, but I would say that the opening cutscene, and I don't want to ruin it for people, but the opening cutscene for the first time, I think, ever in a Halo game, made me sort of interested in the character of Master Chief.
Yeah. It's an interesting storyline. Like, the Fall of Reach actually sets him up in a way that, like, no 100 Halo games ever could. Like, it introduces the... People always talk about how he's this character, he's just this empty box that players can put into. Like, he's actually pretty well-defined in that book.
But they don't do that in any of the games, which has always been weird.
Well, yeah, because people don't play games for narrative. Duh!
Doi.
How many guns is it? So, all I can really talk about is the multiplayer, and it's good. They've added a lot of progression hooks that really... get my new
well
going.
Okay, so how Call of Duty is it?
It's pretty Call of Duty.
Okay,
what's strange is that they actually introduced some Call of Duty stuff in Reach, I guess, like the challenges and the daily challenges. Like,
oh yeah,
I got pretty into those, and so far I don't know if those exist in Halo 4. I don't think they do. What the big hook for Call of Duty is its progression system, but also, like, all of the stuff that they put in other than victory or defeat in a match. They put in stuff like get 100 kills with this weapon or get 10 kills with this attachment or do all of these.
That's a challenge, though.
Yeah, they're challenges, and those don't seem...
You were just saying they weren't in there.
I don't think they're in Halo 4 is what I'm saying.
Oh.
Those are like Call of Duty's bread and butter. It gives you something to think about, like an overarching storyline for your character outside of winning or losing a match. And I'm worried about that not being there, like not being able to keep me enraptured in the multiplayer.
What are some of the things you're unlocking in multiplayer?
Like everything. Like so your guy, like you have loadouts. You have customizable loadouts for the first time in Halo. So you, and it's not just aesthetic, like armor and armor abilities and stuff like that. Like you pick which primary weapon you spawn with. You pick which secondary weapon you spawn with. You pick your grenade type. You pick your armor ability. And then there's stuff like there's offensive upgrades, so like you can take on an upgrade that makes your shield recharge faster or lets sprint. Everybody can sprint now without having to have that armor ability. You can sprint infinitely.
Oh my god,
yeah,
I love it.
So there's like,
so there's perks, essentially
perks. Yeah, it's basically like an old Call of Duty, you know, create a class. So you're unlocking that stuff. You're also unlocking Spartan points every time you get a level, so you have to purchase the stuff once it unlocks. You're like having to make decisions about what you want in a build, which is interesting in the dialogue of Halo, because these weapons are so, like, you know what weapons you prefer in Halo, so now your buying decisions are like so well informed at this point. Like, it really
I like the Needler.
Yeah, the Needler is actually pretty dope in this game. You can't actually unlock the Needler for your loadout. That's how they measure it out. Like, you can't unlock the rocket launcher so that you always have it. It's like the basic rifles and pistols and stuff like that.
Yep.
So that part of the game has taken me over a bit. Justin, you've played it a lot. What do you think?
Me? I think it is good. I don't really understand the Dominion part of it.
I played some more of that. That is the big problem. There are a lot of new modes in Halo 4, like Dominion and Regicide and Flood, and they don't...
I don't think Regicide is new.
Is it not?
I don't think so.
Anyway, they don't explain jack shit. Like, they don't tell you exactly how these modes work. And it's kind of... Dominion especially seems kind of confusing. Basically,
I'm sure it's one of those things, like, once you understand it, it's the most obvious thing in the world. Yeah, and just hopping in...
I've had fun when I've played it. I just don't understand. Basically, there are three headquarters on the map, and you have to capture them in sort of battlefield style. And then those headquarters, at intervals of like 30 seconds, I think, they get reinforced. So like they'll get an automatic turret on top of it,
or
get like weapons inside of it. So the longer you can hold it, the better it is for you, but it also becomes harder for your opponents to capture. And if you can capture all three on a map, then it goes into sudden death mode, and if you can kill the whole other team before they can recapture one of the territories, then you've won the game. But you're also like, they're ticking off points for you while you hold them, so there's a point cap that you're counting up to too. So
how did you figure that out?
It took me like 5 matches to figure it out. And my first, you know, I guess that's not too bad of a learning curve, but like a 10-second video could have explained that, and they decided not to put that in.
Or a 8-hour introduction.
Yeah, right.
Some of the modes that are kind of like the Flood mode. It's basically like zombie mode from the past games, where one player starts off with a zombie, and as they kill players, they get transferred over to the zombie, and you get points for kills on both sides. Except the zombies are Flood this time, and they start off with like the lunging. They look like Flood. Like, you basically turn into Flood instead of just like a player with darker armor. And you have like special armor abilities that you can choose from. I've had a lot of fun with that mode too.
That's pretty cool. I do want to say it looks like a big step above Halo Reach graphically.
Graphically, yeah, it's gorgeous.
Like, it's pretty amazing to see this late in the console cycle making such a large jump. And also the audio, they put a lot of work into the audio, so all the guns were like sound like way more powerful than they used to. Mm-hmm. I'm terrible at Halo multiplayer. I'm not good at kill, because it takes like 10 seconds to kill a guy with the shields
That's the thing. I was hesitant to buy it because I know Call of Duty comes out next week, and I've always favored that multiplayer.
Yeah, that's my jam.
And it really is only for the reason that it only takes a couple shots to kill a guy, and that completely changes the whole dialogue of the multiplayer. But I gotta say, like, I'm having fun with Halo 4. I think that I will continue to play it even after I'm playing Call of Duty multiplayer.
I always feel like it's a better party game because it takes so long to kill someone that you end up having to work together, or there's a lot more stealing people's kills.
And it's a lot more...
feels a little more chaotic and fun.
If you can find the rocket launcher, you can probably take out the best player in the room if you aren't dumb about it. Like, there is something to be said about that. But I don't know. I kind of prefer the loadouts still aren't so finely tuned that you can build your like entire strategy around it.
Only like 2 rifles, right?
Well, no, there's like 6. But some extent, you still gotta like, even when you have your best loadout, you still gotta like go around and scavenge for stuff.
Yeah, I don't care for that.
I don't care for that. It's a very old school sensibility that doesn't like. Yeah. It just doesn't. I'm not saying it's bad. It's just like not what I prefer.
They did add some stuff where it like gives you a HUD like indication as to like where the super weapons are.
And that is so helpful because you don't have to like memorize the map. And that's cool. But like what I love more than anything about multiplayer and first person shooters is defining like what my class is. And like the pick 10 stuff that they're doing in Black Ops 2 just looks so like fucking compelling to me. Like, I'm gonna get so deep into that. Like, I think it kind of makes this loadout system seem a little bit limited. But that being said, no Halo game has ever done it before, and it is such a welcome improvement for me.
Yeah, good step in the right direction. Mm-hmm. I dare say, I think we have a very clear winner this week. What do you guys think?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's probably going to be Halo. It seems
like. Oh, I was going to go with Angry Birds Star Wars. But
hey, I have a question about Angry Birds Star Wars. Congratulations, yeah. Halo. Sure. Halo's better than Most Wanted.
Is everybody yeah, cool I think that? I'll go with that.
I'm sure Most Wanted's good, but.
Sorry, Most Wanted. Griffin, see you around forever.
What do you think, Griffin? I mean.
What do you think, Ditto? You've played.
If we're talking about, like. God, I don't know. I have, like. Most Wanted has extracted from me these squeals of joy that I don't think any game has this year. Like, it has these moments of punctuated, like, holy shit! That I don't think. I don't think Halo 4 has got it. Like, Halo 4 is such a good, good game. I don't know, guys. Don't make me choose.
Yeah. Well, okay, you don't have to.
Because we'll choose for you.
We're not going to bounce Most Wanted from two people who haven't played it.
Yeah, that's the thing. Chris, I think
I played Most Wanted.
Okay, no, you played haven't. It
you
for
played
20
it
minutes.
You saw me play preview.
Chris Plant. Yeah. Have you played Halo, Chris Plant?
No,
no, that's a problem.
Oh, man.
You know what? How about we bring it this discussion at the top of next week, and I'll play Halo.
It doesn't work that way. That's in
no,
the show.
This, then it, we'll, Most Wanted cannot live in perpetuity.
Yeah, we'll
we keep
can't
keep
Most
Wanted.
Why can't we keep Most Wanted?
Because Halo 4 is, like, way better.
You don't know that.
I do.
But you don't know it either. This is why we have a discussion here.
I know Griffin is the one who would know it.
God,
he
has, please
he
don't.
He squeals.
All right.
Griffin, you have to choose. Literally, you
have
let's
to
do pros and cons. Pros and cons.
Okay.
Most Wanted. Totally sick cars. Totally sweet racing. It's Burnout, but with a different name, so that's pretty fresh.
Bad single player.
It's got a really great soundtrack. You heard that Icona Pop song? It's like, I want it. That's a good track. I like that very much. Bads, also known as
single
cons.
Player.
Too much crashing. It's you gotta drive.
Hard to escape from the cops.
It's very hard to escape from cops.
The AI is silly.
The AI is not that bad.
This does not even sound close.
Halo 4, pros. Loadouts, love it. Points, gotta get them.
Graphics.
Graphics are top-notch.
Got them.
Pro quality.
Good sound.
Cons. Full of graphics. Cons. I'm probably going to play Black Ops 2 more.
That's not a con.
All right.
You can't pick that as a
yeah,
con.
Yeah, yeah, wait. That's a pretty big con, because if Black Ops is just going to whoop it next week.
Yeah, nothing. But there's tons of people that like Halo.
We're not deciding it on their behalf. We're deciding what our bestie is. I get the sense that you are spiteful for racing games.
Yeah.
You've oh, wait. I actually forgot I played 30 hours of Need for Speed Most Wanted.
This is not even, I mean, like, this isn't a case where if the game was good enough, I will play a racing game. But, like, it has gotten nowhere near unanimous praise. It's gotten some good stuff, but even you
can
play.
Is that how you play your games now? You just wait and see if there's a lot of praise?
No, dumb. But this is how I choose, like, my best game of the year.
You don't choose the best game of the year off of other people's praise.
I don't like it.
You need to play this game. Both of you need to go play.
You said it when you were reviewing it. You said there were things you didn't like about it.
Yeah, yep.
There were baffling decisions.
Honest. There are things I don't like about every game I play.
Except for Halo, which you didn't play. Hi, it's the biggest release of the year. What are you doing?
Wow.
It's the biggest entertainment launch.
Open up your gob and shove these fucking Doritos in there.
Yeah, is it warm between all those Doritos and Mountain Dews?
Guzzle it. Guzzle this game down.
Guzzle
like
this
Rito. Like
let's give it to Halo 4. Fuck it.
Yeah.
Nothing we do fucking matters. We're all going to die someday anyway. And what are we going to do? Sarah, I could go and I could kiss my girlfriend, or we can sit here and argue about Halo and Most Wanted. None of this fucking matters. Go outside. Carve something. Guys, I feel so bad for getting rid of Need for Speed.
Yeah. That was
well, you know
mistake.
What? You can bury it next to Little Big Planet Vita.
I cremated you cremated Little Big Planet Vita while it was still alive, dick.
Yeah, it wasn't an honorable death.
It's sack skin just peeling away. Thank you so much for joining us on the Besties. We have a lot of fun here, but seriously,
we really
let's
don't
talk
have
about,
that much.
Not we used to have a lot of fun here, but then a lot of big games started coming out every week, and it was not as easy to make these decisions. But we really appreciate all of you joining us on this journey. Please recommend our show to a friend, or make sure you subscribe or give us a review on iTunes or what have you. If you want to read our stuff, it's all at polygon.com. Visit there, Twitter it, Google Plus it, Facebook it, YouTube it. It's all Polygon. Just get it. Get it in you. Like this Dorito flavored Mountain Dew. Put it in you.
Oh God, that'd be so good. Cooler Ranch. Hey Justin, can you in your juicer, can you pour a bunch of maybe Live Wire and some Cooler Ranch in there and then juice it and then get rid of the chaff?
And please don't die.
Check this out, Ecto Cooler Ranch.
Oh man.
Numa. And that's gonna do it for the besties. Make sure you join us again next Friday for the besties, because shouldn't the world's best friends pick the world's best games?
Besties!